Hello. Today I'm fortunate enough to be interviewing Joyce Chambers. Joyce worked at the Strand Bookstore in New York for 25 years, and for any person who's unfamiliar with the Strand, it is actually one of the most famous and historic bookstores in the country. So thank you for interviewing with me today.
You're welcome.
Yeah, my first question is, what made you want to work at the Strand?
Well, it all sort of happened by accident. I had just moved to New York in January of 1985, and a friend of a friend told me that her husband was a manager at the Strand and that they were hiring, and I went there, and I got hired immediately and continued working there for 25 years.
That's awesome, yeah. And I understand that it's located in Greenwich Village, correct?
Sort of. It's at 12th Street and Broadway. It's not really in the West Village. It's part of the village. It's not part of the old historic village, but yes, you could say that.
Okay. And were you was that where close to where you lived or at the time or?
Yeah, it was about a 15-minute walk from where I lived, so that was very convenient for me.
All right, that's great. What changes did you see in the 25 years that you worked there?
Well, when I first started working there, the Strand always had a reputation for being this cool, old, dusty bookstore with, books piled everywhere where you could always find a treasure buried somewhere. So that sort of changed over time. I mean, it became cleaner and tidier, and we also, for many, many years, we didn't have any air conditioning, which was quite brutal in
the
summer.
Gosh.
We had gigantic fans that just, blew dust everywhere. So there was a time, maybe 10, 15 years ago, when they remodeled the place and made it all really clean and wholesome looking, and also put air conditioning in.
That's great.
Good and bad parts to being so clean and wholesome, because it was no longer the cool bookstore that it used to be.
Yeah, I understand that the whole rustic charm, might have left with that. Were you in charge of a certain section when you worked there?
Well, I was actually a manager there, and I was sort of managed for the whole store. I did work on the main floor, and one of my particular interests for that was the cookbook section, but I had many, many duties in addition to just keeping track of the cookbook section, because I was managing a lot of people.
Yeah. All right. Who were the kind of people that you interacted with on a daily basis?
Well, as you can imagine, being here in New York, you get a lot of characters. I mean, a lot of serious book people. We're also sort of near at NYU, Baruch, a whole bunch of colleges, so a lot of college students, a lot of regulars every day that were just, huge book lovers, a lot of really cool people, a lot of really ornery people. ran the gamut.
Yeah. Did you ever interact with, any important people, maybe minor celebrities, famous people who ever came in?
I actually interacted with some major celebrities. I mean, it was sort of a magnet. Before the internet, before you could get books, whatever books you wanted online, when you actually had to go to bookstores and look for things, I mean, we had a huge celebrity clientele. Probably my biggest interaction was with closing the store early one night, throwing everybody out. I mean, obviously asking them to leave nicely.
Yeah.
And it was myself and another manager and the two security guards, and then Michael Jackson's entourage came in.
Wow, Michael Jackson.
So we had him there for a couple hours. He's a very nice guy. It was shortly after his book Moonwalk came out, so I have an inscribed copy to me from Michael, and so that was certainly the biggest, the most, certainly the biggest celebrity I ever dealt with.
Wow, that's
and
huge.
It was pretty huge. I mean, there were always famous people in there. A lot of really famous authors were there because of its reputation. But, it was cool people coming and going all the time.
That's great. How do you think the Strand affected its surrounding area? Do you think its presence had a positive impact on the people of the area?
Oh, I'm sure it did. I mean, I don't know how much of an effect the Strand had on it, but when I first started working there, that whole Union Square area was sort of not a great area in New York. Now it's one of the biggest, most bustling areas in the city. I don't know how much effect the Strand had on that, but it certainly, affected the Strand becoming a much more popular area.
That's great. And, you know, how do you think the just bookstores in general have changed since you stopped working at the Strand?
Well, I mean, as far as the Strand goes, to me, it's more just like a Barnes & Noble now. You know, it's very clean. It's very sterile. They deal mostly in new books. You know, the used books seem to be sort of a fringe thing now, where it used to be their reputation was really as one of the greatest used bookstores in the country, used and out-of-print books. Although they do still deal with that, but I think it's a much more minor thing than it is now. I mean, you just have to sort of go where the money is. I mean, you know, the whole browsing and everything has changed now. People have shorter attention spans. People don't want to spend hours in, you know, the aisles of bookstores looking, you know, on shelves of books. They want things laid out on tables now. They want a quick hit. They want to see, you know, things like that. So I think that has really had a big, big impact on the whole book business.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure. And, you know, you said you started working there, you know, 1985. You know, you said that was before, prior, you know, like the internet and like any sort of, I'd say like substantial or like, you know, impactful technology. But do you like the idea of technology becoming more integrated, you know, into the bookstores and libraries around the country nowadays? Or, you know, do you kind of wish it kind of stayed like that, you know, old, you know, rustic kind of, you go in and you don't really know what you're expecting to find?
Well, I mean, there's something to be said for that, for going in and finding a treasure. But as far as dealing with customers and dealing with sales and things, having the inventory online at your fingertips certainly was tremendously helpful. I mean, it was a big change for all of us, and we started sometime in the late 90s, you know, doing this, entering every single book that was in the store. It was a massive project, but, you know, that was just the way you had to go. I mean, you couldn't just have customers come in and go ask for a book and say, oh, you know, if we have it, it'll be in such and such an aisle. You know, now you could look it up and definitively say whether it was in the store or not. So I think as far as that, yeah, that's great. There's still, you know, for me, there's still the idea of, you know, still finding a hidden treasure somewhere, which I'm sure maybe still happens, but. But, yeah, I think, you know, technology has only improved it.
Yeah, okay. And, you know, you said, like, you know, you were discussing coming into stores and, you know, not sure if you're going to have the book or not. But, you know, now obviously there are e-books, you know, online that, you know, kind of makes every copy, you know, available to anyone at, you know, any time. What are your thoughts on, you know, the emerging popularity of these e-books?
Well, I didn't really have a lot of thoughts about it for a long time, but a couple of months ago, I actually downloaded my first ebook, and I have to say, I really enjoyed it. And I, you know, it was on my iPad, and I took it on the train, and I think that that's probably the way I'm going to go now. I understand that people love to collect, and I live in an apartment with thousands of books, but I don't want any more books. Okay. And I think it's good. I think it's good. And forever they said it was going to be the demise of the bookstore, but it hasn't really happened, because there are always going to be people that want to hold the book in their hand. And then there are always going to be people that just want to read it on their tablet or whatever. So I think it's okay. I think everything can work together.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. Like, you know, for me, I mean, you know, I'm very much a millennial, you know, I'm completely up to date with the whole ebook thing. And personally, like, I still find the whole, you know, tangible aspect of, you know, reading a book to be very important to me. Like, I love that, you know, part of it, you know, getting to turn the page. And, you know, I feel that's something that, you know, I don't know if a lot of my generation would agree with me, but I feel like it's a whole part of the book reading experience. And, you know, for me, at least, I still enjoy, you know, that aspect of it. So I actually don't enjoy ebooks as much. But my last and final question, it's totally unrelated to the interview, but what's one book that you would recommend that everyone would read, you know, your all-time favorite?
Oh, you didn't have that on your list? I didn't even think about it. I don't know. I mean, you know, it can change from one week to the next because, you know, I just don't know. I don't know what to say. I have so many favorite authors. I mean, I'm a big fan of an author named Pete Hamill. I think anything by him I'm not going to be able to give you just a specific book.
That's fine. Now, you know.
Calm, Toy Den, Let the Great World Spin. If you haven't read that, that's a wonderful book. And, you know, of course, all the classics. I mean, everybody should read Salinger and you know, all that, you know, all those people. But, yeah, it's too hard.
That's fine. Well, I appreciate your time. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, sure. Anytime.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.